This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Good afternoon, you are on Cravings. We are looking at Radiothon in a very different way today. Forget your celebrity chefs and your magnificent winemakers. We're talking something that's a bit more real, and I've got a great buddy of mine to help me do it. Stay tuned. We're going to have a great deal of fun between now and 2 o'clock. Hello, we are talking cravings. It's 10 minutes past one. I do apologise that that previous program of Dean Beck's went a little over time. We didn't want you to miss out on the end of the debate that we had talked about from just a couple of nights ago in the seat of Higgins. It's Radiothon, people. 1-300-569-949. That is the number you need to know, or joy.org.au, the website, because we want you to become a member of our great station. It's the reason that we do manage to stay on air. And I can tell you we've had a donation from Patricia in Churnside Park. Richard from Brunswick has become a member. Thank you, Richard. We've had a donation from Ben of Port Melbourne. That's following on from this morning. Melinda from Mattingly has also become a member. So all of those new members or returning members, welcome back or welcome to Joy 94.9. Today I wanted to look at a very different way that we could celebrate Radiothon, and I want you to do something very kind. I'm calling on your generosity, and I've got a mate of mine here that's going to help me do that. Katie Barfield is from the Yumi app. Katie, welcome back.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
Well, it's good to have you back. For those playing at home that didn't hear your last visit, let's talk a little bit about the Yumi app first.
Okay.
What is it?
Well, the Yumi app is a piece of technology that was designed to prevent really good food from going to waste. We all know how wonderful the chefs are that cook up amazing meals for us, and unfortunately there is a huge amount of food that goes to waste every single day from each restaurant, cafe and caterer. So the Yumi app was designed to provide an opportunity for people to purchase product at 50% off, or they could actually donate it to a community food program of their choice who could pop in and pick it up.
Which ties in nicely with what we're doing today, and it's sort of why I wanted you to join me, because we are talking to community food programs, and not the bigger ones like Second Bite and those who have quite a big presence. I wanted to talk about the importance of us being community and being generous, and there's a series of people we're going to talk to through the next hour who provide food where it's most needed to people who just simply cannot access it for one way or another, whether it's through mental illness, whether it's through simply being homeless and poor. So we wanted to look at that today as a way to encourage people to be generous as well.
Absolutely. And the thing is, the food is the catalyst that brings people together, but it's actually the people around that are so important.
So one of the people we wanted to talk to, and Alex, if you're listening from the Positive Living Centre, do give us a call, 1-300-569-949. We do want to talk to you very shortly about the wonderful work that is being done at the Positive Living Centre by the Victorian AIDS Council. There's a couple of programs programs they have running. We're going to speak to Russell from the Asylum Seekers Resource Centre, the Food Justice Truck. We'll also speak to Poi from Mother's Kitchen, which is a service providing food for the homeless. Jim will join us from Mini Rooms, and Melanie Raymond will join us from a youth project as well. But what I want you to do is pick up the telephone, and Katie's going to encourage me to get you to do this as well, 1-300-569-949. I want you to ring and renew your membership, or if you're not a member, become a member. Whether you're a business, it's going to cost you $300 if you're a business. Of course, it's tax deductible, and we haven't got to the end of the financial year yet. If you're a family, it's $124. If you're an individual, it's $82. If you're a $84. If you're on a concession, it's $42. And if you're under the age of 18, it's $22. So ring and become a member or renew your membership. And when you're doing that, I want you to think about donating a membership for somebody who can't afford one. So you can ring and leave a donation with anyone that answers the phone, or indeed you can do it online at joy.org.au. You can ask somebody to, you can just ring and say, I want to leave a concession membership for somebody who can't afford to buy a membership.
I love this idea, because one of the things that was commonly said to us when we were working at Second Bite and out there speaking to a number of people who were accessing Food Rescue was that they just want to be part of something. So being part of an organisation like Joy would be amazing for people that couldn't actually afford to do it for themselves, but the idea that someone gifts that is just truly exceptional. So I encourage everybody to jump on board.
And there are so many people within our community who themselves are not part of that stereotypical wealth, you know, high income, double income, no kids. There's so many people in our community who don't have the extra funds to spend on a membership at this organisation. So we encourage you to do it. We're going to have a couple of messages, and Katie and I are going to return. We're going to be talking, first of all, Asylum Seekers Resource Centre Food Justice Truck with Russell Shields. He'll be our first guest when we return. Very briefly, you're on Cravings here on Joy 94.9. It's 1:15.
Hi, I'm Gary.
I'm George.
I'm Matt, and we're the judges from MasterChef on Channel 10, and we encourage you to join Joy 94.9 during Radiothon.
So why don't you give us a call on 1-300-JOY-949 and become a member.
Okay, Gary, you say it.
No, you say it. Go on.
Matt, come on, you say it.
That's so Joy.
Oh, now I want to say it. That's so Joy.
It is so Joy.
It is so Joy, and it is Joy Radiothon, 1-300-569-949, the only number you need to know today, 1-300-569-949. You can, of course, go onto the website, go to joy.org.au. We would like you to become a member or renew your membership, but at the same time, I want you to think about donating a membership for somebody who can't afford one, whether it's a single person's membership, a family membership, or a concession membership. And I'm putting a call out to restaurants, chefs, cafes, waiters, all of the people I know in hospitality. The call goes out to you to show the rest of this station and the world how altruistic we are as an industry. And I would love you to ring and say, hey, here's a business membership, $300 that you can claim on your tax. And at the same time, I want to donate a membership to somebody at Joy who can't afford one, and we'll take care of the rest from there. Katie Barfield is my guest. She is the founder. She's my co-host today. She's the founder of Yumi, an app that you were just telling me how many last 6 weeks, how much food have you saved in the last 6 weeks?
We have saved close to 20 tons, and out of that, 14 tons of it has been donated to many food rescue organisations.
Is the Asylum Seekers Resource Centre one of those food organisations?
It is. It has been a recipient of our food. We've sent some bottled water. There's been some peaches. There's been all sorts of things.
Well, we have a man by the name of Russell Shields from the Asylum Seekers Resource Centre. He's on the phone and joins us now. He's from the Food Justice Truck Program. Russell, hello.
Oh, good afternoon, Pete. Good afternoon, Katie and listeners.
So tell us, what does the Food Justice Truck do, first of all?
Oh, we're a mobile fruit and vegetable market that travels around Melbourne. We sell wonderful fresh fruit and vegetables and some grains and legumes and fresh breads and teas to all of the general public shoppers out there across Melbourne. But importantly, what we do is we sell the exact same produce to people seeking asylum at a 75% discount.
So if you're going to sell something for me in my suburb that I'm going to pay $3 for, the cost to somebody from who is an asylum seeker or a refugee, people seeking asylum, is what, 75 cents?
About 75 cents, yeah. And we know anecdotally that people seeking asylum have around $20 a week left to buy food, which is way less than what is the standard average for a healthy male, about $130 a week, they would think. But what we do with the truck...
You haven't seen how I eat, Russell.
So we convert that that $20 into $80 worth of fresh produce.
So, Russell,
which
how...
is often a life-saving amount.
And how do you think people can support the Food Justice Truck? What can the everyday person out there do to support you guys?
This is the beauty of the social enterprise. The simplest way you can support our organisation and people seeking asylum through the Food Justice Truck is come along and shop. So when you shop at the truck and pay, which is still, all across all of our prices, we're still 90% cheaper than the major retailers, so you're still getting a fantastic farm-fresh, affordable produce. But just by shopping, you're allowing people seeking asylum who, across Australia at the moment, are 90% likely to be food insecure. So they're running out of food every month, 90% of the population, which is a staggering statistic and one we absolutely need to address.
I don't want to turn
shopping,
this.
You're allowing them to access.
I don't want to turn this into anti-food porn, but that's an alarming number of people who and I don't. I know you would like to use the word food insecure. I like to use the word hungry. There are people literally going hungry.
Absolutely, and you know, across Australia, about 5 to 8% of the total population. In the city of Melbourne, it's about 7% of people do go hungry at least once a year. And in certain demographics, we know if you're an Aboriginal or Torres Strait Islander person, if you're an elderly person, if you're a homeless person, you're more likely to be food insecure. And those communities are often around between 20 to 40%. But with people seeking asylum, Peter, it's 90%, which is a staggering statistic and one we absolutely... along with all of the other health, mental health and legal support, but the simple access to a basic human right of food is something we as a community have to address.
And where do we find this truck,
I was going to say, where's the truck?
Where's the truck?
So we're currently across Melbourne. We have 4 sites. So we're currently at Footscray Primary School every Friday afternoon. We're in the city in Lonsdale Street at the front of the Wesley Church every Wednesday at lunchtime. Every alternating Tuesday, we're at Thomastown Primary School, and we're at Dallas, which is in Broadmeadows, which is the Hume City hub. And there are regular, guaranteed locations where you can come along, shop for amazing farm fresh produce, and at the same time, shop and support people seeking asylum to have access to exactly the same produce.
Russell, where does the support come from? Where do you get your fruit and vegetables? Who provides you with that and the ability to sell it at such a low price?
Yeah, look, we sell it at a standard price, like at a standard retail price. As I said, we're just below the normal retailers' fruit and vegetable prices. We buy ours through a social wholesaler called Spade and Barrow, which I'm sure Katie's very familiar with, having been one of her enterprises in the past. And that organisation allows us to have direct contact with our farmers. So we know the farms our food is coming from. We build those relationships. We buy stuff that's a little bit wonky and maybe not so straight.
Well, this was my question. You know, the fresh food that is sold in supermarkets does tend to be, you know, the apples are all lovely and green and don't have spots, and the lemons are beautiful, and the stuff that grows on my trees doesn't look anything like what is in the supermarket. So is this all the stuff that's not physically attractive?
Look, to me, it's still incredibly attractive. It's still fresh.
I agree with you.
That's the most important thing. I was in I often don't go, but I popped into a retailer the other day, and even though it was, I think, about 8 degrees outside, I almost had to put my sunglasses on because the produce was just glowing and radiating and all shiny and perfect and
oh, that bloody
uniform.
Wax on it.
Yeah.
It's just not how food grows in the way that nature intends. So, yes, it's going to be a little bit wonky. Our red peppers at the moment are sort of bending around. We've got these amazing carrots that, again, are naturally curving into the ground.
I believe you've got some purple organic garlic there, haven't you, from a certain wholesale called Yumi as well at the moment? Haven't you got that?
This cross-pollination is marvellous.
Cross-promotion.
I think so. But that was garlic that's end of season, you see, and normally would retail at about, you know, $29 a kilo, but she wanted to, it's starting to sprout, but it's organic purple garlic from Victoria, and so she wanted to make sure that it found a good home rather than just ploughing it back into the earth, and now there it is being sold, and it's, I can vouch for it being fantastic.
We sold kilos of it yesterday out on the truck. We have a lot of customers at the moment from Iran, from Syria, and they pickle a lot of vegetables. They saw the garlic, and they make this almost an elixir out of garlic, which they store for 7 years.
And it's so good for you. You don't need to go and buy cough medicine or anything when you're sick. You just go and get hold of that stuff. Russell Shields is our guest. He's from the Asylum Seekers Resource Centre Food Justice Truck. Russell, again, tell us where the truck can be found.
Okay. First thing, you can always jump on the website, so asrc.org.au/foodjustice to find our locations.
Yep.
We're at Footscray Primary School every Friday afternoon. We're in the city at Lonsdale Street every Wednesday lunchtime. And we're in Thomastown and Dallas alternating every Tuesday.
What do you need to make this program bigger?
Simple, very simple request. As I mentioned earlier, all you have to do to support us and support people seeking asylum through the Food Justice Truck is come along and shop. Especially in the city, we've got this great site right out the front of Wesley Church and Alistair there. They're so accommodating. We have this great location, 11:30 till 2 every Wednesday. Pop down, we've got some beautiful fresh mandarins and apples and pears, bananas, all this wonderful fresh fruit that you can grab and go and take back to the office.
I'm assuming all of it is in season as well.
Absolutely, yeah. These non-waxed apples are coming through at the moment. They're lovely.
Beautiful.
Mandarins are still in really prime condition. And it's healthy, it's fresh, and you can grab it, take it back to the office, or if you're not travelling too far, bring a bag, and you've also got beautiful cauliflowers and lettuce coming from Gavin Phillips in Bendigo at the moment, so great winter leeks and pumpkins and all this beautiful food that's coming into season for a full shop.
Excellent.
So we provide simple, fresh snacks, but also if you're looking for a whole fruit and vegetable shop, come on down.
Beautiful. Hey, Russell, really grateful for your time at reasonably short notice. Thank you for joining us today.
Thanks, Russ.
No trouble at all. Thank you, and good luck today. Remember, everybody, sign up. It's for a good cause.
Good man. He's on song already. 1-300-569-949 is the number you can call. Become a member of Joy. This station runs on this membership every year. It's our one time of the year when we can ask you to be part of something that's a little bigger than you. You can go to the website joy.org.au and you can click on the membership tab there and become a member. But I want you to think about today, if you do become a member, I want you to donate a membership if you can afford to do it for somebody who can't afford to be a member of the organisation and who could benefit greatly from being a part of Joy. 1-300-569-949. As they say in the telephones, Katie Barfield, phone now. Call now. We'll be happy to take your call.
Hey, it's Miguel, and you're listening to Cravings from Joy 94.9. See?
You are listening. Thank you, Miguel. Katie Barfield is my guest. She's here. She developed the Yumi app. She's an advocate for stopping food waste everywhere, and that is the theme of today's show because we want you to be generous. 1-300-569-949. I'd like you to call, renew your membership, become a member, or indeed you can buy a membership for somebody who can't afford it. You can do that on the website as well at joy.org.au. Katie, another of the organisations we found that take care of people who need it when it comes to food is Mother's Kitchen, and Poi joins us on the phone from Mother's Kitchen. Poi, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Peter.
Yes, and Katie.
Hi, Poi.
Hi, Katie.
Tell us about your program, Mother's Kitchen.
Mother's Kitchen has started at Collingwood Neighbourhood House since 2011, and it's part of the organisation called MA Centre, which is we have our spiritual teacher, which we call her Ama, or she is known as around the world as Hakim Saint. So that's where our spiritual teacher comes from, and the name of the mothers, because mothers in India, it's called Ama, so we call Mother's Kitchen, so that's why the name of Mother's Kitchen comes from that.
Sure, and what sort of services do you provide, Poi?
Say that again, I can't hear the question.
What kind of service do you provide?
Oh, okay. A Mother's Kitchen, we run lunch, provide lunch for people who are in need in terms of looking for food every first Saturday of the month at Collingwood Neighbourhood House. And the food that we provide is vegetarian that we cook on site at Collingwood Neighbourhood House. And we serve at 12:30. It's all vegetarian, yep.
Boy, I love the line on your website. It says, feed those who are hungry, help the destitute, console those who are sad, give relief to those in pain, and be charitable towards everyone. How does food support that mission?
When you look at food, every people, every community, every culture, every country, it's basic human needs. So food bring everyone into that kind of center of the activities that we do, because we all need food to survive. And as our spiritual teacher, Amma, said, we all live and share. So food is something that we all share between everyone in the world. And so that's part of the thing that we look at, how can we bring joy, bring everyone together in terms of looking at food as a central part of the activity that we do. So,
and Poi, where does the food come from? Who donates the food to Mother's Kitchen?
Okay, as part of the bigger organization, we have people who are interested to donate food, can donate to the MA Center, which the website is, I can't remember, if you Google, you will see Google Amma Australia, there will be something that can link you to the website in terms of donate food. Or if you can't donate food and you like to do some donation, we also receive donation into the pool of the organization, and that's where we receive the funding to buy fresh food and vegetable for our monthly cooking.
So the first Saturday of every month at Collingwood Neighbourhood House is Mother's Kitchen. Find out more, the website is ammaaustralia.org.au. That's ammaaustralia.org.au. Poi, thank you for sharing the story and for talking to us this afternoon.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Poi.
Take care. That's another incredible organisation, working with people who are, you don't have any sort of, there's no qualification required. You can go and eat. So the first Saturday of every month takes very good care of people who need it. Another organisation, I think, who is doing a very similar thing is called Many Rooms. And delighted to have Jim on the phone from Many Rooms. Jim, good afternoon.
Yeah, good afternoon. How are you?
Good, mate. Good to talk to you. Give us a bit of an idea about Many Rooms and how you care for Melbourne's homeless population.
Yeah, look, Many Rooms started around probably about 7 years ago, and we were very fortunate enough to get some funding from the City of Melbourne to help fund our venture. It started with just a few volunteers, a lot of people from the local church we were part of, sitting on a hill, but a lot since then we've grown, and we've got people from all walks of life involved now, and it's been going really well. We now run a breakfast and a lunch on Saturdays in North Melbourne, which is where I've just come from. And we also run a Friday night service in the city at the Multicultural Hub, which runs a meal there too. We run various recreational activities as well along with that. But it's a great help for a lot of the people who we come across who are on very low incomes in public housing or actually homeless. And, they don't have the cooking facilities that we would, take for granted. And some of them don't know how to cook very well. So it's just a way in which we can help out people who are in need.
That's wonderful, Jim. And whereabouts do you get your food from? Who donates your food to you?
Yeah, well, look, we're very fortunate to be able to get some food from Food Bank. They are very helpful for us and also Second Bite. They supply a lot of our fruit and some of our other items. We do have a budget for our food, so but we make it stretch by having those food donated from these organisations, and we have other people who are just very generous, pay for things. Some of our volunteers do that. In fact, this morning, one of our volunteers just pays for the brekkie, all of the eggs and so forth. People have donated cakes and so forth. So it's a community venture, and we're just really grateful for all the support that we can get.
And I see that you're partnering with the City of Melbourne, and I know that they initiated the street count that has been going for a few years now, which is actually taking stock of the amount of people that are sleeping on our streets every single night. What other initiatives are the City of Melbourne involved in that you think are being really useful in this space?
I think there's always a need for more accommodation. It's a very difficult topic to raise because, obviously, it's expensive in the inner city where we are. But, you know, there's probably also... I was talking to another guy this morning who's homeless, and he just says, look, you know, having people who show they care, who are willing to be there for them on a weekly basis, particularly on the weekends, which is when we operate, is very helpful. There are a number of other agencies that operate during the week, but the weekends can be quite a lonely time for some people. And so having sort of agencies that can fill in the gaps in those periods can be very helpful. But look, you know, the City of Melbourne is concerned about a lot of these issues. It's obviously having to deal with people who are sleeping rough in the city at the moment. There are a lot of people in there. And having to deal with those issues is a quite complex one. But I think, you know, it is one that we really do need to have engagement with the people concerned and not seek to victimise them or try to push them into solutions that they're not really happy with. Jim, so I think that's an ongoing issue, though, but, yeah.
Jim Davison is our guest. He is from Many Rooms, and the kitchen is the first room that serves the vision of Many Rooms. And what I'm interested in, Jim, is the broader program where you're providing people a place to relax, feel safe. There's mutual respect. You don't tolerate a lot of the malarkey that could go on. What are there any restrictions that you have for people who may or may not fit into the service you provide?
No, there's no restriction. I mean, anybody's welcome, and in the sense that we don't say that anybody's... I think, obviously, if people are using, and there are people who have got drug addictions and other issues that they're dealing with, you know, they're not allowed to use on the premises. They're not allowed to bring alcohol or any other drug onto the premises. So there are certain restrictions that make it are important to enable a harmonious environment for people. But look, in my experience, and we've been going for many years, people know the rules, they know where they stand, and it's only, you know, a 1% kind of experience where you get somebody who's perhaps just had a bad day and you have to deal with it. But no, look, in general, people are very good at, you know, making it a happy place for everybody else. So I wouldn't say it's something we want to dwell on.
Jim, yeah. The provision of social services as well, of providing a place where people can actually come and be social and have a conversation and be a part of something that's a little more broad, how important is that to the people that access the Many Room service?
Look, you know, it's very important. I think a lot of the people who come, there are some people who might not have had a conversation all week. They're either shut in public housing or watching the telly or they're on the street. And that can be a bit socially isolating. A lot of them do go to other services, and so they do catch up with people. But for some people, it's actually a lifesaver. It's a really important thing for people, especially if they're going through difficult times and they've got problems with their mental health. Having somebody who just cares and wants to have a conversation with them is all they need. Well, it may not be all they need, but it's certainly a good starting point.
There's a bit of a shared experience there in that you know, people are going through maybe not the same thing, but something that is similar that they can then relate to other people or be able to talk about their own situation and how that does relate to other people that are suffering the same thing. Because, you know, there is that statistic. We're all probably two paychecks away from being homeless.
Yeah, that's true. And you do encounter some people who have had it pretty good in life up to a certain point, and then they've lost it all. And, you know, things like mental illness do affect people regardless of your socioeconomic position. So, you know, there are things that really unite people when they come to that. To you know, a lot of our volunteers get a real insight into what life is like being homeless by just talking to people like that. And they realise, and I've certainly come across some of our volunteers who've had relatives who've been homeless, so they have an immediate kind of connection with the issue.
And just
I think it is, yeah.
Just remind us how people can find you. How can people access your services?
Right, so we operate at the North Melbourne Community Centre, which is in Buncle Street in North Melbourne on Saturdays. We're open from 8:45 until 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So we're open all day on Saturdays. And we're open on from, I think, 5:45 on Friday nights at the Multicultural Hub in the city. So, anybody wants to come along, it's a free meal. It is aimed at people who are sleeping rough and people who are doing it tough, but, we have plenty of food, so they're welcome. If you want to volunteer, probably best just get onto our website and we'd be happy to get you involved.
Jim, grateful for your time today. I know you've got to go. You've got an auction to head to. So congratulations on the service and thanks for joining us today.
Thanks, Jim.
Pleasure. All the best.
Good on you. That's Jim Davison from Mini Rooms. You can find out more about that on the website if you go to minirooms.org.au. Katie, another great program.
Amazing.
And people probably just don't know that these exist.
And you know what? There's so many of them going on around Melbourne and greater Melbourne and outside Geelong, etc. And it's just extraordinary how many people are involved in actually supporting these types of programs.
Indeed. We're going to talk to a youth program in just a second, but we need to take a couple of just a quick little breather. It's 1:45. You're on Cravings here on Joy 94.9.
Hi, I'm Gary.
I'm George.
I'm Matt, and we're the judges from MasterChef on Channel 10, and we encourage you to join Joy 94.9 during Radiothon.
So why don't you give us a call on 1-300-JOY-949 and become a member.
Okay, Gary, you say it.
No, you say it. Go on.
Matt, come on, you say it.
That's so joy.
Oh, now I want to say it. That's so joy.
It is so joy.
It is so joy, and it's also 13 minutes to 2 here on Joy 94.9. This is Cravings with me, Pete Dillon, my co-host Katie Barfield, founder of the Yumi app. We've got to get to that Yumi app and the new thing in just a minute, but we've got one more guest to talk to. Before we do that, we're reminding you that joy.org.au is the website. You can go there and become a member. It is Radiothon. We'd love your contribution to the station if you can. And if you can, make a donation of a membership for somebody who can't afford to be a member. We've had Dennis has signed up, so good on you, Dennis, for your membership. You can call 1-300-569-949 and become a member as well. The last of our focus today moves to youth and youth projects. Melanie Raymond is with the Youth Projects. Melanie, good afternoon.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, Melanie.
Hi.
What sort of service do you provide for young people who can't access food as frequently as we should?
It's a total service. We call it a wraparound approach. So you can certainly get access to food, but we have doctors, nurses, showers, laundry, internet, and a range of other health services. It's all free. But the important thing is being able to take control of your nutrition and get off the diet of takeaway and food scraps is what we're trying to do.
Do you find you have a lot of food donated to you, Melanie?
We do, more and more these days. I think there's more of an awareness around the issue. So in the CBD here, often people will just turn up in mid-afternoon with sandwiches or corporate platters and bring it to us. But, you know, lovely a woman and her daughter just arrived from an outer suburb. They had baked muffins all day and cauliflower soup and drove it in.
How wonderful. That's amazing, isn't it? And actually, we just heard in the break there about the MasterChef boys doing a shout-out for Joy. And I wondered, what is the most unusual ingredient that you've ever been donated, and what did your chefs or your volunteers create from it?
What we had donated was two huge boxes of red capsicums, which is not always everyone's favourite, certainly not raw. But the interesting thing is, and I sort of thought, oh, what are we going to do, is a group of women experiencing homelessness sat around discussing how they would cook the capsicums and recipes they'd remembered. And I thought that was enormous benefit from that. But when I checked back a couple of days later, they had actually been eaten. And I'm thinking, you'd have to be very hungry to get into raw capsicum to that degree.
But healthy, if nothing else.
I was going to say, Melanie, I assume there are some people who are actually in that situation where any food is something that is going to provide them some nutrition to sort of make it through to the next meal. We don't realise the peril that a lot of, particularly young people, and I'm going to be a bit selfish here, but there's a lot of young LGBT people who for whatever reason, no longer live at home and are in a situation where they don't know where to turn to and they can't get a job and they can't get housing and they find themselves in this dire situation.
It can be a very difficult environment for those people, and a lot of services are not particularly aware of what needs to happen. So the hunger is real. We know that people who are homeless would at best eat 14 meals a week if they're lucky, and there's independent research showing that people who are homeless top the hungry in the city. It's probably, you wouldn't have to be Einstein to figure that out, but it's certainly verified. And having somewhere to go where you feel safe and inclusive and not judged, and you can tell your story with confidence, confidentially, is the sort of service that we run. And that includes access back into accredited training and job placements, as well as dealing with immediate needs, so that we can work across a number of different domains in helping people find their way back.
And I think the ability to come and have a shower and wash your hair and you know, maybe wash the clothes that you've been able to carry with you or what have you, provides a bit of dignity that's quite often missing.
You feel the stigma very, very keenly. So the capacity to maintain normal life skills, which would mean taking control, washing your own clothes, caring about your appearance, being able to do your hair, they're all part of the equation and what we do here. So, yes, we have clothes that if people need them, but it's really important that people are able to maintain clothes they happen to like. I mean, God forbid that someone who's homeless has a favourite top or a favourite pair of jeans. But they do, and can get them washed and feel human again when they come in here. We do thousands of loads of washing in here a year.
I bet, and there's me complaining with a six-year-old and a four-year-old about the amount of washing I've got to do on the weekend. But my goodness, that's extraordinary. And how do you transition people who come in and use your service? Where do they go next?
What we have to do is build trust and self-esteem, but we can connect people into housing options. But to be sustainable, they're going to need to have a number of things done to check their income, are they on benefits, if not, why not, and to find them a way to acquire some job skills and start having the confidence to think about maybe getting a job. But we are youth specialists in that. We won't send anyone to a stupid job, a job that they're going to fail at. We spend a lot of time with young people to find out what their strengths are, what their interests are, and linking them into it. So we've got a very successful track record of doing just that, and we see that as an important part of the equation, along with mental health counselling, seeing a doctor or a nurse. We're a free medical centre as well. So we put all of those pieces of a jigsaw together for people as much as we can.
Melanie, how can people help? How can people find out more?
On our website, on our Facebook page, our Twitter account, there's always updates. But to help, one of the things we do need, and sadly, is donations into our gift account, which is money we spend directly on clients, and it might be to top up our food services or buy someone something they need when they're in crisis. So we will accept any small donation, means a lot to us. So there's a link to our donate button on our that helps too. But being aware and perhaps a little bit more sympathetic about the plight of these young people.
Melanie Raymond is the chairperson of Youth Projects. We're grateful for your time, Melanie. Good luck and continued success.
Thank you so much for your time.
Thanks,
today.
Melanie.
Another incredibly vital program, Katie. I'm just astounded at the amount of time and energy that people are investing into people who are doing it tough. A couple of quick messages. We'll come back and talk about Yumi to finish off the show. Okay.
You're listening to Cravings, celebrating Radiothon.
It is 3.5 minutes to two. Katie Barfield has been my co-host, and we're now going to talk about Yumi and your new addition to the Yumi family.
Yes, well, the B2C went very well, the business to consumer.
Yes.
But we realised quite early on that if we were ever going to get to the numbers we required to be viable financially, that it was going to take us millions of dollars and a long, long time. And also, you know, the amount of impact that we can make from food reduction, the food waste reduction. So we decided to go further up the food chain, Pete, and we've gone up to some really large suppliers and distributors and also to the farmers themselves. And we've been accessing product from them, putting it onto the platform, and it's being bought by the likes of the lovely Jessie Gerner from Bomber, who I believe was here last week
here
with
last
you.
Saturday, yes.
And Maddie Wilkinson from Pope Joan, etc.
Who's often here, yes.
Yes, who's often here or on holiday, it would appear, on his Facebook page. He's all over the place, Maddie.
He is.
He'll
tell you he works hard.
So, you know, it's been really amazing. And actually, through that process, the idea is that any large supplier can put product onto the platform and they can offer it for a discount. It has to be surplus and they have to state why it is surplus. Mm. So we start to educate around what food waste really is.
Because how much of it there is.
How much? 1.9 million tonnes, Pete, of waste just from manufacturing and industry. 1.9 million tonnes, and the food rescue organisations that we've just been talking about actually collect and redistribute 45,000 tonnes, which is a phenomenal figure, but just think about the difference between 1.9 million and 45,000. So Yumi was created to try and act as a funnel for the rest of that product. Bring it in, and then if it doesn't sell on the platform, it can be donated when it's still useful, because as a CEO of a food rescue organisation, I know how much food arrives at your door and you really can't use it because it's kind of on the edge.
Yeah. So how do you what's the offer? So if people want to know what Yumi does so that they can support the organisation, what's the offer?
Right. Well, you can go to www.theyumi.app, and Yumi is spelt, I should do this.
Yumi.
Y-U-M-E. Absolutely. That is theyumiapp.com, and you can have a look about what we're doing. Also, if you know somebody who supplies large products, so think about Unilever, Goodman Fielder, some of these large companies that actually do have quite a substantial amount of waste, you can give us a call and we will get in touch with them. And also farmers. I think farmers are so restricted in their avenue to market because farmers are doing what they do well, which is looking after their animals or growing amazing crops or fruit. And the reality is that it's just difficult for them to find an avenue to market. So please jump on board, have a look at what we do, and we should move a lot more food.
The Yumi app, the yumiapp.com.
No, AU.
We need to thank all of our guests today who've been able to give us a bit of an indication of how food plays such an important social role for people who are homeless, for refugees and asylum seekers. I'll put all of that information up on our Facebook page later today on where you can access all of those programs. Katie Barfield, thank you for coming in, being my co-host and playing in the studio with me.
Thank you very much for having me, and I just hope that people get on board with Joy FM membership and actually pay one forward for somebody who can't afford to buy a membership for themselves.
It's time to go travelling with the Escape Pod. This has been Cravings on Joy 94.9. Enjoy your afternoon.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.